Okay, so do a little talk now. So what you might want to do is get a notepad or a phone or something, but we've got to try and get people into a little bit of a habit because over the next few weeks, as you know, we're coming to the end of our Big Story Bible Study course. And so what we are going to be doing is starting a new course, and it's going to be based on the values that we're looking at as a church, because we're going to be looking at eight values, okay, four for each hand. Okay, so eight core values. And what we want people to do is, if you're not in a group, please let Chris or Dave know and we'll put you into a group. And what we're going to be doing is gathering together after we've had a couple of the talks. So next week, Mark is talking about intimacy with prayer. Week after that, Tom is talking about delighting in the Bible. And then as we get together, I want you to bring a question or the thought, or it could be more than one question, to the group to discuss. Because we've certainly found as leaders, and we found that in the open forum, and we found it that people are really good at just bringing things, saying, well, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about that, or this was a good thought, that was a great thought. So either way, I'd like you to be the contributor. We're going to create our own Bible study in one sense. So please, so you can do it today. You can have a little practice today if you want to, and have a go at doing the nearly end of the meeting then. Have a go at have a go at writing down a question or a thought. I loved Andrew's talk last week about hope. Because our hope is founded in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And that moment when it seemed to be the opposite of hope, he brought the hope for the whole world. How great is that? And how true is that in our lives? But when we feel like the opposite of hope, that hope comes in. And I love the definition from Danielle Strickland that that Andrew mentioned to us, that it is about a confident expectation and deep longing for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to ask Simone. Simone, could you put up the PowerPoint for me if you've got that for me? That would be amazing. And we're going to try and keep the PowerPoint up for most of it. So can people see that? If we can see it. And we will send this out, don't you worry. So hopefully we'll be able to put this on the website and etc. So our mission statement has been and is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And what does that mean? It means that we are filled with the Spirit of God. There's the same Spirit that hovered over the waters when it was dark and empty and formless and created life through the light of the revelation of God himself. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us and renews us and refreshes us and enables us. And that we want to be that habitation, not a visitation, because that's where the hope of the world comes from. If we, as God's people, are filled with the Spirit of God, just as happened in Acts of the Apostles, when Jesus said, wait, I know you want to be my witnesses, I know you want to get out there, but wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And we, praise God, are filled with the Holy Spirit. So all the things we've been praying about and thinking about this morning about bringing people into the kingdom of God, we have that enabler and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to step out into the community, to take community into community, the presence of God, and then having an impact in our lives and in the communities that we're part of and in us as a church. And so I'm excited about that idea that we've got this confident expectation that God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven, and it's coming through us. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But first of all, can we go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42? So a little bit earlier on, we saw in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see that 3,000 were added to their number. And then we see the church being formed. And I'm going to rename. It says here, the Fellowship of the Believers in my NIV. But I'm going to rename it. I'm going to rename it as the Values of the Early Church. Because today I'm going to be giving us an overview of the eight values. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through every single one, but an overview of why we've got the values, what the values are all about, and why they're important. Because the values flow from that mission statement. They flow from being a habitation of God's presence. And so as we are a habitation of God's presence, they flow through from that. So you okay if we stop sharing that for a minute, Simone? Sorry, I've gone ahead of myself here. I'm just going to read. Thank you, Simone. Okay, we're going to read out from the scriptures. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. There's two values there. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. There's another two values. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. That's just generosity, isn't it? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved as they lived according to their values. It had an impact on their witness. Thanks, Simone. Yeah, if you can share that now, that would be amazing. So I think it's fantastic, isn't it, that we've got there in a kind of a microcosm, the values of the early church. Now, our core values, those who've been to the Open Forum and so on will know what our core values are. It's on our church website as well. So we've got our 8 core values. And I've not realized this, but I think probably the other leaders did realize. I've probably taken me a little bit of while to catch up. But the 8 values can be split into 2 hands. And they're 2 kind of separate kind of groups, if you like. So the first 4 values that we've got there is intimacy with God and prayer. First and foremost, I love that word intimacy, about that relationship, the listening and the crying out and the hearing and the talking, the silence, all those things that happen in a relationship, that intimacy with God in prayer, delighting in the Bible, openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit, worship as an integral part of all we do. Those 4 are all about a relationship with God, a continuing daily relationship with him. And then the next 4, celebrating creativity, being bold in demonstrating the good news of God's love with the world, being honoring, generous and gracious in all our relationships and pursuing wholeness at all times. Those 4 flow from that relationship that we have with him. And those are all our core values. So your job this week is to memorize all 8 fingers. Okay, see if you can go through 8 fingers and try and remember those core values. So because those core values really flow from our mission statement, and then they will flow into our way of life. And as a church, we have thought very carefully, not just as leaders, but at the Open Forum, of the words and why we've chosen those words. And so as the preachers, as the teachers teach on each of these, and I'm not going to do that this morning, but as they do, then we'll begin to unpack what we mean by the very specific words in each of those core values, because they are all really, really important. We spent time praying around these, but these are what we say make us who we are. So I've kind of thought, well, okay, well, what is it about these values which are important? And there are 3 things that our values must be. And they must be, and this is not a proper word, they must be war, okay? So do you remember that song, war? What is it good for? Absolutely everything, okay? So because I want us to know that our values are good for everything, okay? Everything. Our values have to be in everything. That those values are important. Can we stick it up again, Simone? Only because... I'm trying to get people to remember it already. So thanks very much. So our 3 things that we've got there, if you want to take a screenshot of this, anybody you can do or photograph it. So our core value, we will be sending it out though. Our core values must be, first of all, woven. They must be woven into everything that we do. So the prayer and the delighting in the Bible and the openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit, etc., that every single thing we do has every single one of those values in it, whether that's to do with where you go to work or the ministry that we get involved with, or a Sunday morning, or it's the Zoom, that they are surrounded and that all the values are woven into everything that we do as a church. And if one strand is missing from any ministry, then it will unravel and it will become frayed. And if it were you at school, you used to like bite your the edge of your jumper, and then you eventually the warp or the weft or whatever it is would start to go, and then it starts to unravel, and you'd end up with like your jumpers like up at your elbow somewhere flapping around because you just picked at it so much. And if you get rid of any warp or weft, any strand, any one of those values, then we are less. We no longer look like a jumper anymore. Or maybe you might want to think of it as like the air that we breathe. Each of these values are important because they are part of the air that we breathe. And I don't know about you, I don't breathe every other day. I don't breathe in the morning and at the end of the day and the rest of the day, I don't do any breathing. I need air all the time. So we need to be constantly intimate with God in prayer, constantly living our lives by the Bible, constantly open to the Holy Spirit in everything we do, whether you're making a cup of tea or whether you're lying asleep in bed at night, in everything, whether you're preparing a meal, whether you're street pastor going out onto the streets, whether you're preaching a sermon, all of this is bringing praise to God in worship. It should be woven into everything we do. So first of all, the W is about it. The values are woven in. And the second thing, the O, is that they should be obvious for everybody. You almost don't need that list. Forget the list now, you don't need it. It's obvious that we as a community of people have these values. It shouldn't be a shock that when somebody comes up to Ormskirk Christian Fellowship and we say, do you know what we do? We pray. And they go, what? That's a bit of a surprise. You pray. We shouldn't be surprised when nobody should be surprised that we're a people of prayer, because it should be obvious to everybody. It's obvious we live our lives by the Bible. It's obvious that we're open to the Holy Spirit. It's obvious that we are honoring and generous and gracious in our relationships. And so if people turn up to church and they find people who are backbiting and criticizing and being nasty about one another, then that value isn't as obvious as it should be, is it? And that needs to be worked on. But not only should they be obvious, but it should be obvious that they are increasing, because none of us are perfect in all of these things, are we? And so it should be obvious that they're there, but also obvious that we are increasing in our prayer, increasing in our delight in the Bible, increasing in our wholeness, because our values are not just something that's there and they're never changing, but they're actually should be increasing. And we are these are not just who we are, but who we also aspire to be. We are becoming what we already are. But they need to be obvious. So they're woven, they're obvious. And then the last one is that they are relevant to the needs of our community and of our context. And that relevant part, that the values are relevant to our lives, is important, because, you know, the values that we have may be slightly different in the way they're outworked to a church in America or China or India or at another period of time in history. They need to be relevant to us now. And the way that that will happen is by, as we begin to talk about our way of life, as we start to look at our values and discuss them in our small groups, and think about how we're applying those, and then thinking about then flowing through from that into our way of life, and that will make sure that they are relevant to us as well. So as we're looking at all of these things, I thought, okay, this is fantastic. This is why we're having values, because it brings us together, it unites us as a church. But there are two things that our values will also bring. And I was listening to a testimony from a rugby player from the Leeds Rhinos last weekend, and he was Christian, and he talked about purpose and impact in his life. And I thought, well, that was fantastic. And God just said, well, these are what the values bring to us. The first thing is that the values bring a God-inspired purpose. And I always remember when Jesus stood up in Luke chapter 4, and it tells us he stood up and he picked up the scroll and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me too. And this is what the values do. When we are intimate with God in prayer, when we're delighting in the Bible, when we're doing all of those things, then we begin to realize in our lives a God-inspired purpose. And there are loads of people with brilliant purposes out there, and they can be inspired purposes, but what we want is a God-inspired purpose in our lives. And maybe not even just one. It may be that you've got, this is my God-inspired purpose. It may be that there are, that in your life, that God is inspiring a purpose in everything that you're doing, in the way that you're doing it. So our values are important in the purpose that we have. God doesn't want you to live a life which is just, yeah, maybe. Okay, as you get to the end of your life and there was no real purpose in it. God wants to bring a God-inspired purpose into your life. But not only that, he also wants you to have a God-positive impact, that there will be a God-positive, there will be an impact in your life. You know, there's so many people that have an impact. And for me, it's a little bit like the feeding of the 5,000, where the principle there was that you had five loaves and two fish, or in another account, it was seven loaves and one fish. And then God came in. And there was an expansion. There was like an abundance that came from that. Because there's so many people in our world who are not Christians who are having a positive impact. People of faith and of no faith, of different faiths, and they're having a positive impact. You see them all the time doing that. But what we want is a God positive impact, because a God positive impact leads to abundance way beyond anything that we are capable of in our own strength. God wants us to have a God positive impact. Those taking Hannah to work this morning and she likes to call into McDonald's for coffee on the way. And so we did that. And as we were driving through, we stopped at the zebra crossing, you know, from the drive-through. And there were two people. There was a police officer arresting somebody, and there was a bloke in handcuffs. And one of those people had a positive impact, and one of those people had a negative impact. And I know which one I want to be. I want to be the person that has a positive impact on our community, a positive impact on our society. But for me, I don't want to be just somebody who has a positive impact. I want to have a God's positive impact, where God will make a way where there appears to be no way, where everybody else might have given in, but I, because I know God, where I don't give in, and I continue to have that impact, knowing and trusting in the hope that Andy talked of, a confident expectation and deep longing for God's kingdom to come in that situation that he's called me to be a part of, on earth as it is in heaven. So as we look at our values and unpack those values over these next few weeks, my prayer and my desire is that we will begin to increase and see an increase in our application of these values in our lives, and that we'll begin to see an increase in our God-inspired purpose and an increase in our God-positive impact in our lives. I'm excited about what God is going to do. And as we go into our small groups, take with you the questions that you've got, or the thoughts or the comments that you've got, or the pictures that God gives you, or the prophetic words that God gives you linked to these values. And then I believe that as we begin to talk and discuss and chat together about what these values mean to us, we'll see an increase in our lives, and we'll see an impact that increases in our lives from God himself. Amen.